Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of the host do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the BAIO, the Black African Infrastructure Organization.
Do you believe in the concept of an independent diaspora nation state for the descendants of the transatlantic slave trade, the biggest crime in the history of humanity? Are you tired of Black African people being scattered across a diaspora, living as second and third class citizens in foreign lands? Should Black African people have their own Israel? If you believe and support any of these positions, check out the BAIO social network on Ming. People with various thoughts and opinions on reality coming together with like mind toward a singular goal and common denominator, land, infrastructure, and nationhood. Visit BAIOAfricStand5.ming.com. That's BAIOAfricStand5.ming.com. Black African power and a BB Fahodie. Total African liberation. Peace.
Is this what you want to be their entertainment, their playthings? Their pets? Cowering beneath a whip. And then fighting amongst ourselves. Is this what you want?
I've lived by their rules my entire life. I've protected them. Envied them. And for what? To be treated like an animal.
We are not animals! We do have a choice! We can choose to be more than this! We can be slaves! Or we can be!
You are now listening to 13 Revolution on the BAIO Radio. Here is your host, Minister Dawood Mohammed.
In World War II, there are a lot of African Americans that went to foreign soil to fight.
Mm-hmm.
They were fighting for freedoms in a foreign land that when they came home, they didn't enjoy themselves. Under that flag, with those veterans. So think about this. You go to Germany and you go overseas and you fight for freedoms of people you have no idea, have nothing in common with. And the very country that you're representing, when you come back to it, you're a second-class citizen.
Correct. Agreed.
Me,
agreed.
I have a very unique perspective,
mm-hmm.
Skip.
Okay.
I'm from rural South Georgia.
You are.
I'm 48 years old, Skip. And if I don't tell you my religion, you can't guess it. If I don't tell you my mom's name, you couldn't guess it. I was dirt poor, 1,000 square feet, 10 people sometimes, mm-hmm. cement floors, tin roof. I'm well off now. The one thing that I've been for 48 years mm-hmm. is Black. That's what you see. You don't see my religion. Mm-hmm. You don't see my orientation. You don't know my political affiliation, but you see this. I see people get on shows and the officers say non-compliance. Well, I saw a guy in Florida, a white guy, stab two people, kill him, stabbed another guy, was eating the guy's face. Female officer tased him. They have to wait 10, 15 minutes, and they take him alive. I see a guy selling CDs, and he's killed. I see a guy selling loose leaf cigarettes, mm-hmm. and he's killed. See, that's what gets us up in arms.
I should.
Because you say noncompliance is a death sentence. If a man is gnawing a man's face after he's killed two people, mm-hmm. we see what happened in Colorado. The guy killed 12, and they take him alive. We see what happened in Charleston. What nine parishioners. He drives. Not only do they take him alive, they take him by Burger King because he's hungry. So you think we're supposed to be okay with this?
No.
In what system?
How do we solve it?
Skip, there's a huge We got to start with us, because this black on black gun violence. See, I believe you can work, you know, and what bothers me a lot of times is that when we say, you know, the police brutality, and the first thing everybody, what about Chicago? What about black on black crime? It is. It's reached epidemic proportion. If you take away a person's hope, they will resort to drastic measures by any means necessary.
No. You're sliding down the freaking. You're sliding
they
down
will destroy
the hill now.
Themselves in their else. Own community.
Everything
because
was
that's
cool.
Close proximity.
Everything
very good friend of mine.
Cool until you started talking that black on black crime stuff that white people and conservatives be talking. Everything was cool until you started sliding down that goddamn that hill. That all you, I want to, Salaam Alaikum, Hotep, Keith, Black African Power. It's your host once again, Brother Minister Daoud, bringing the 13 Revolution Experience to BAIO Radio. I ain't got to tell you how I feel about this mission. I ain't got to tell you how I feel about these people, but if you want to know, I love the people. I love the mission. It's in my heart. It's what I lead with. It's what I lead with because it is me and I am it. And what is that mission? It's very simple. That mission is land, infrastructure, and nationhood. And the question that follows those three words is always, what is the end game? I'm so grateful to Allah for the blessing and opportunity to be here with you once again to give you the words that are inspired in my heart that deal with having an independent nation for black people off the shores of America, and then having that leverage of technological democracy, using it to build satellite communities in America. And make no mistake, that particular nation that will be built, not if, not maybe, but will be built, will give you, as a black man and black woman, political leverage, economic leverage, spiritual leverage, and as well as mental and emotional confidence, that you can now say that you have something that is your own. You cannot say America is your own. You cannot say that any community in America is your own. You cannot say that you have even anything really on the continent of Africa, because Africa is being colonized and divided up and carved up as we speak. So we of the BAIO, who is Mr. Holicism, Big Dev, Roger Fairley, College Genesis, Chef Rob, Earl Hardaway, Mikhail Omani, the sisters, Ivy the Queen, Forever Queen the Farmer, and Salima Samad, we, brothers and sisters, are the men and the women who are dedicated to building an independent nation off the shores of America, and we know and fully understand this is not a small task. It's a large undertaking. It's something that's going to require a lot of people with a lot of skills, a lot of resources. We are taking our time. It took us a long time to get into this situation. It's going to take some time to get out of this situation. And so, again, I'm just grateful to Allah to be back here after what I'm looking at. It looks like a 3-week layoff, maybe even 4. I'm sorry about that, brothers and sisters. I have been busy studying for a very important certification that I'm trying to get. And, you know what I'm saying? It's like that's been occupying my time. Actually, 2 certifications that I'm trying to get, which, you know, I've been told that I'm crazy for doing so, and then some people admire me. But, you know, the fact of the matter, brothers and sisters, and I'll get into this probably on Thursday night, when you say that you are conscious and you have come into the knowledge of God and the knowledge of self, then you should push your mind and spirit to a little bit more than just being able to have 120 on cap. You should put your mind and spirit to a little bit more than knowing all of the pantheons of the Egyptian gods and comedic science and what they used. And, you know, I mean, if you're not a healer and get paid to be a healer, if you're not a scientist in a comedic way and get paid to do it, then you should be also able to invest yourself in a trade or a skill that is a, and we'll talk about this later, a nation-building skill. And when you invest yourself into that, it, you know, you should go full blast with it, just like you were full blast trying to remember and memorize the teachings of your particular culture so you could impress your brothers and, you know, impress the ladies also. And so therefore, brothers and sisters, we're back today with a very important topic, had me fired up, kind of hot under the collar for a long time. And quite frankly, I just couldn't really wait to get to this. I was going to do it another day. I kept putting it off, and I said, you know, I think tonight feels right because I think that in some ways, you know, there's certain things that's going on that I want to try to help deal with, heal. And so, therefore, let me read this to you. Honorable Elijah Muhammad says in Message to the Black Man, he says, but if we desire to remain the slave of servants for our slave masters, it is all right with the law. Do we love ourselves and our children? If so, why not build a future for ourselves rather than beg the slave masters for jobs and equal shares of whatever they have, even to equal membership in their society and families, quote unquote, into marriage? This is definitely not a wise thing to do, but a very foolish and destructive thing for the one slave and his master to do. By the help and guidance of Allah, I have put before you the wise and best thing for your future. Honorable Elijah Muhammad speaking. And so, having said that, let's get on with the get on, brothers and sisters. So, my monologue says that the title of the show is All Black Lives Matter in Your Own Black Nation. And the monologue is very simple. It goes, All Lives Matter is a direct counter to the narrative and programming meme, Black Lives Matter. Instead of getting upset about it and letting them win, there is but one logical course of action, and that is land, infrastructure, and nationhood. You know, brothers and sisters, there have been people in the entertainment and sports world in the last couple of days that have been coming out routinely as a counterattack, as a counterstrike to the phrase Black Lives Matter. Layla Ali, Venus Williams, Will Chamberlain, not Will Chamberlain because he's dead, but they posted articles about Will Chamberlain. There's been other people who have said All Lives Matter. Many different black people now in entertainment as well as sports and business are coming out and they're saying All Lives Matter. And the thing for me that is bothering me is I understand the history of why they're doing what they're doing, but I think that they don't understand the history of why they're doing what they're doing. You get where I'm coming from? See, the history of Black Lives Matter as a movement started off because of the killing of young black men and young black women and the fact that those who do that are not getting prosecuted. There's no justice. And because there's no justice, the people feel like their backs are against the wall. When you look at the premise, the three words of 13 Revolution, you have revolution, reconstruction, renaissance. Revolution is always precipitated by a climate in any given nation where the people who are revolting feel like their backs are against the wall and they have no more choice. They couldn't do it peacefully. They couldn't vote it out. They couldn't protest it out. They couldn't do it peacefully. So they decided that they have tried their best to conform. It's not working. And now they think that the best thing to do is confrontation. And make no mistake, brothers and sisters, revolution is a young person's game. It's a young person's game because generally older people who have revolted in the past and have sort of calmed down are scared of revolution. They've either been paid off, they've either been made comfortable, or they have been fighting for so long that basically they are jaded and they don't feel that what they're revolting for is ever going to come about. So they have been pacified and they don't bring the energy that's needed anymore. They don't bring the fire that's needed anymore. And because of that, their enemy doesn't really take them seriously. But the young come up. And they, like I was saying at the temple today, the young people today who are hearing the slogan Black Lives Matter, if you are out there and you are speaking against the terminology Black Lives Matter, I don't care about the I don't care about the group. I don't care about the organization, whether you want to say it's from George Soros or whether you want to say it's LGBTQ. I could care less about that. You know what I care about? I care about those words, Black Lives Matter. And you know why I care about that? The reason why I care about that is because I want young black people to hear those words. And the reason why I want black people to hear those words is because if they hear those words, even if they're cooning right now, even if they're young and they don't understand, you know, there was a trend in Brooklyn at certain times when I was younger where brothers and sisters would kind of crack on black people from the African continent, call them African booty scratchers, and said other things that many of us are not proud of now that we're adults. But you know what's funny about this? What's funny is that we all had parents who were cultural enough that had something to do with the black movement, that they put a seed in our heart. You came home and there was pictures on your wall. You came home and there was books on your shelves. So at some point when you got older and you saw the injustice of Yusef Hawkins, you saw the injustices that went down with various other cases when I was coming up, something went off, a switch went off in your head, and you knew that you had to join a black revolutionary group. We all, in masses, began to wonder which group we were going to be in, but the one thing that I knew and all my friends knew was that you had to join some revolutionary group because we was tired of not having no justice and no peace. And so when you jump on your bully pulpit, and you try to scream on Black Lives Matter, and you try to go against them, who cares about the group, brother? Who cares about the group? Are you that ignorant and short-sighted that you don't understand that just those words alone is something revolutionary for your children to hear? That when your children go to the mall with the miniskirt on and the freaking, and their skateboards, where they're just trying to assimilate into white society, that when their people get shot and deprived of resources, jobs, a fair shake in society, that somewhere in their heart they're going to remember Black Lives Matter. Somewhere in their heart they're going to remember Beyonce's performance at the Super Bowl. Who gives a damn if it was Beyonce or not? Somewhere in their heart they're going to remember Jesse Williams, Shannon Sharp, and the rest of the people. And what I'm saying to you is this. All Lives Matter is a direct white supremacist counterattack, not to the group, but to the words Black Lives Matter. Because they've already infiltrated it with the LGBTQ. They've already infiltrated it with white people's money. They've already taken over it and made it a franchise. So they're not afraid of the group itself. But what you don't understand is that the idea is more powerful than the group. See, when we say BAIO, Black African Infrastructure Organization, do you understand how powerful those words are? Nobody before us had infrastructure in the name of their group. Nobody before us addressed the fact that infrastructure was the trump card. It was the creme de la creme. It was the queen over the king. It was the one thing that united all black groups across ideological lines, helping us to understand that no matter who we believed in, what we believed in, and where we believed it should be, we all believe that we need to control infrastructure. Now let that sit on your mind for a second, and let that marinate on your mind, because you look stupid speaking against Black Lives Matter. Not the group, but the phrase. You look stupid because you do not realize that you are helping those who are trying to counterattack a meme and a virus that's going to affect your children and make them somebody when they grow up that they hadn't even known that they were going to be. And the reality of the situation is that if you see, the fact of the matter, brothers and sisters, is a lot of us who don't have children, you're so short-sighted, you don't see the forest, all you see is the trees. And so therefore, the reality of the situation is that that's really what this is. Now, let's go through the history of counterattack. First of all, near and dear to my heart, because I'm a Muslim follower on Elijah Muhammad. You did know that, right? You did know that. Okay, so either way, you can love me or hate me, but it is what it is. You know, so we all know that the Crusades was sort of a counterattack to the Moorish Renaissance and Moorish conquest. We know that. We also know, so the spread of Islam over Europe, their counterattack was the Crusades. We know that the FBI was a direct counter to the Civil Rights Movement. Martin Luther King and the rest of the gentlemen and women, like Rosa Parks and the rest of the brothers and sisters who stood bravely in either peaceful or violent protests during the Civil Rights Movement, the FBI challenged them with agents, provocateurs, sent men and women to tempt the leaders and bring the leaders down, basically spy on everything that was being done. We know and understand this. It's public record today. We have the name J. Edgar Hoover. There's been movies about J. Edgar Hoover. So look at the pattern there. Look at the pattern there, okay? So now, the 80s and the 90s, after everybody got made comfortable, was given promises, went to college, and got comfortable off of welfare and things like that, the Black Power movement rose again, and I was a part of this. And what happened was that the white man bought off preachers, and when I say preachers, I don't mean Christian preachers. I'm talking about Islamic preachers. I'm talking about Kemetic preachers. I'm talking about nationalist preachers, Hebrew preachers, Morris preachers, and sold the product called spirituality over nation building and made people satisfied that you have a quote-unquote connection to God, the ancestors, the universe, and the energy, and not really focus on the building of a physical solid infrastructure that would feed your children, your woman, your generations, your cousins, your generations that to go down to the second and the third generation, because spirituality was more important. And these men, it has come out in the 2000s and the late 2000s, were all paid by the government, B. And it was a counterattack. And now you see that these men were agents. And now that you see these men were bought and paid for by your enemy, and they ruined a movement that I saw at some point, at any given time, when a big person would come to town, would have anywhere from 50, 60, 70,000 people. And how many can those people get today? You can't even get 3,000. So therefore, the poverty preachers and the spirituality preachers were counterattacks to the Black Power movement of the 80s and 90s, of which I was a part of. And so you come to the 2000s, where you see the conscious community begin to rise, and people begin to look towards Africa and Kemet. Some people begin to look towards the Dogon. Some people begin to look towards even ancient civilizations of South America. People begin to look at the Hopi. People begin to look at all of these different civilizations. And so the direct counter of the white man now, internet police shootings. Do you honestly think that they would not be able to hold back a lot of the stuff that's going on? And so therefore, here's what happens to you. When you see a police shooting and it's shared all over the internet, you feel horrified. It does something to your heart. Because by and large, brothers and sisters, ain't none of y'all doing nothing about these shootings. You're not going out there to shoot nobody back. You're not gathering anything, and I'm not saying that that's what you should do, but you're not doing anything about that because you can't. And so you feel helpless seeing that. You feel angry, and you comment, and we fight each other over it. And then the next year, what happens is the court date is set for whoever practiced the shooting or carried out the shooting, and they get released. Then you feel dejected. You feel sad. You feel powerless. And you are allowed to feel that way for a little while, then they do it again. And so what happens is that you got all of this consciousness. You got all of these debates going on. You got all of these scholarships with GoFundMes following them. And with all of this scholarship, debates, and consciousness, the average person is looking at all of these shootings, and they're saying to themselves, why the hell should I trust you guys when they're still shooting us? What are you doing about that? What are you doing about that? And the reality of it is, you can't really say you're doing anything about it, can you? And so be that as it may, brothers and sisters, and it most certainly is. And it most certainly is. Now you have the last leg and the most current leg of our attempt to revolution or revolt, and that is the young Black Lives Matter movement. It may not necessarily be you know, LGBTQ. It may be your well-meaning brother or your well-meaning sister who just really wants to legitimately have a say-so, who wants to protest, who wants to fight, who has studied a lot of different of me and you, to be very honest with you, that I'm 45 now, and studied a lot of us, and they have said, I want to make a change. I want to participate. I want to do something. And they join this big homogenous movement that just simply comes under the umbrella of Black Lives Matter, but to be truthful, has many different branches. Because brothers and sisters, listen, me, Minister Daoud, I don't follow Minister Louis Farrakhan. I don't follow Minister Salas Muhammad. I don't follow Minister Royale. I'm not speaking against those gentlemen. But what I'm saying is that what I'm showing you is that these are different branches of the same thing, which is called the Nation of Islam. right or wrong. And because these are different branches of it, you can say Nation of Islam and you can try to point to Minister Louis Farrakhan, but there's so many of us that don't follow him. And so just like that, you can say Black Lives Matter and you can say it's the one under LGBTQ, but there's many people that don't follow them. But what I am putting importance on is the words and what the words do to your children. And the fact of the matter, brothers and sisters, is that those words, Black Lives Matter, are so powerful and they go deep into the heart of these children. And so they had to do something about it. And what they've done now is the All Lives Matter movement. And you black people in entertainment, you don't have no better damn sense than to jump on the bandwagon and try to speak against that. You cannot. You are so much of an idiot. You cannot see the power in those words going into your children and your children mouthing those words. Just the fact that they've seen all those images, just the fact that they even seen Colin Kaepernick. And I know that I said that Colin Kaepernick is a symbol without substance. This is true. But the words that he stood for, the words that he stood for goes deep into your children's heart, man. And at some point during oppression and pressure being applied to them, that particular seed will grow and something will come of it. And the counter is All Lives Matter. And so what do we do about that? And what's my thought about it? My thought is very simple, brothers and sisters, because there are some of you out there, you don't know really which side you want. You don't know whether you want to be on Black Lives Matter. You don't know whether you want to be on All Lives Matter. You have no idea. Let me just break it down to you very simply. The only way All Lives Matter is when you have your own black nation. I say again, the only way for you as a black man and a black woman in America, the only way All Lives Matter is when you have your own nation. When you control land and have acquired land, more than 40 acres, when you control infrastructure, which again, electrical power grid, sewage system, information highway, roads and highways, entertainment system, news system, you know, banking system, when you control all of those systems, medical system, when you control all of those systems being infrastructure, then you have a nation. And when you have a nation, then in reality and in good truth, all lives then matter. We'll be back.
Classic shit. Timeless. Forever. Iconic. DJ Khaled.
A divine leader, shine brighter, bonita, mommy meter, line sniffer, never, poetic rhyme writer, cheaper, ebony empress getter, celebrity apprentice, a devil show, big up to Africa, Mexico, Hennessy, margarita, venison eater, so dear, spread them here, don't be acting innocent either, don't me, relax me, it's only to the nasty, I'm just a phony assassin, a lot of niggas owe me, I'ma tax them, a lot of sisters hold me to something holy and Catholic, cause the rosary and gold flashes, just an attachment and accessory, my dress code now everywhere. All I see is Pablo Esco. Last time I checked, I was still breathing. My neck was still freezing. Now everybody got an Escobar season. To every baby on the album cover existing, this trend I was setting, it came to fruition. I'm assisting to push the culture forward. To all my ghost supporters like a local black owned grocery store. Cause in the hood, shit ain't passed down through blood. It's a dub on that. We get government aid. Spending at day stores, putting their kids to college. We need balance so we can lease and own deeds in our project, so I'm asking G's to go in their pockets. The racial economic inequality, let's try to solve it. My signature fade with a bevel blade, that's a major key. I told her she's smart and loyal, I like that, that's a major key. Start a label, run it, sign yourself, that's a major key. What Tony had on the table, it's like us, we a major key.
still underestimated. Every mistake a lesson. Mercury retrograde. So if that planet's been backwards up in the heavens, maybe it's affecting backward niggas who don't be repping lately. I'm playing chess with babies. Niggas is nursery. Niggas impersonating, rehearsing me. Nothing like me. I'm the first to meet, and that's quite certainly so official. Come get this issue. Some women crazy. I like a woman to show me wisdom. These hoes easily convinced to pop they pussy with a loaded pistol. Y'all ain't meant to be played. Says the brother with the signature fade. Still paid stacking. New stashes went from hanging with shooters and clappers to computer hackers. Check the fashion in Monaco, getting ocean mist.
And that is like the ultimate tough line of the freaking year for me. Went from hanging with shooters and choppers to computer hackers. That's in a nutshell what this nation building thing is all about. Like, you're on the street, you're doing your thing, you're just surviving, it's dog eat dog. And you meet a man or you meet a woman, and they have superior knowledge, wisdom, understanding. And that person helps you to begin to come to the reality that you have to do something for yourself and your people. And you go from hanging with shooters and choppers to computer hackers. It's just really that simple, shooters and clappers. It's really just that simple. And that doesn't mean that you become a square, quote-unquote, or a nerd. But what it means is now you are now using your innate genius for the betterment of your people. The only problem with that is if so many charlatans out there that simply tell you that they're building something and they're not, and you ask them, what have you been doing for 30 to 40 years? And they say, well, the people didn't support us, and that's bull crap, because the people did support you, and you had hundreds of thousands of dollars. You lined your pockets and your family's pockets, and we don't have any physical structure to point to. So now you basically rely on strong men and strong women to run around and defend you and kind of, you know, muscle people's mouth closed. But the reality of the situation is that this young generation that believes that Black Lives Matter, they're not going for that no more. And it's too many of them for you to silence them. So now you have to engage them in debate. And you look so damn soft doing that. Anyway, brothers and sisters, you know, because of what I do for a living, which I'm very proud of and I love, my mind is conditioned to think like a complete circuit. And what I know, brothers and sisters, is, because this is what I deal with every day, what I know is, you know, a circuit must have current, it must have resistance, and it must have a return path. So in other words, it must have current that goes out, but in order for the current to go out, it has something that's pulling it to go out. Because your device, when you plug in your clock, when you plug in your iron, when you plug in anything, that becomes what's called a load. And the load itself pulls the voltage out of the power source. Did you know that? So that load in and of itself is what causes the electron to be pulled out, and it also gives a certain amount of resistance. Because once work is being done, then that means that extra energy is dissipated in the way of heat, or maybe it's dissipated in the way of there's many different ways that it's dissipated, but either way, the voltage goes out, it does some work, then there's a return path. But the main thing, brothers and sisters, is you can do no kind of work unless you can counter some kind of resistance. And this to me, when you think of electricity, when you think of life, when you think of success, when you think of building, there's two things of utmost importance: correct resistance and resistance and uninterrupted return path. I'm going to say that again. Correct resistance and uninterrupted return path. So when we talk about how we're going to affect the babies, because if you're a real woman and you're a real man, a real black woman and a real black man, you're not thinking for today, are you? You're here today, you're in the BAIO, you're in the STEM group, you're in the chat room, wherever you may be, and you're dealing with your brothers and sisters on a daily. You're trying to bring as many people as you can to the BAIO thinking and way of life. Or maybe you're in some other nation-building group. Who knows? Whatever nation-building group are you, big up to y'all, big up to Africa, Mexico, whatever. You are in that particular group, and you are thinking nation-building for today, but you are not an idiot. You are thinking of tomorrow and tomorrow's tomorrow. So So you are thinking of how your children will be. And what you come to find out if you study any religious group, religious preacher, or even conscious group, is that many times, you know what you find out? You find out that the children really don't follow in the mother's and father's footsteps. What you find out is the children are tired and they get angry and they get frustrated with being broke and the fact that mommy and daddy had to spend a lot of time out of the house trying to build whatever it is they're building. And so they say, I don't want to go that way. And plus, if you've made a good living for them, maybe you haven't been a pop. Maybe you have comfort and maybe you have some accoutrements and life is a little bit better for you. So your children are used to growing up and they don't see quote-unquote racism like they think they do. Even though if you grew up in a white neighborhood, quite frankly, you know, as I was coming up, you hear the N-word, you see some kind of discrimination, you're going to hear some children talk about you in ways that you didn't think that they would ever talk about you. My daughter went to a private school for high school for a couple of years, and she bounced because she couldn't believe the level of racism. My daughter grew up in the Nation of Islam, and she couldn't believe the racism. So either way, one way or the other, you have to try to set up a future in which your children will be inspired to carry on the work that you do. Because let me just say this, brothers and sisters, if you are true to black nationalism, and your wife, your girlfriend, your husband, your side chick, whatever it is you got, they are not down for black nationalism, I don't really take you seriously, son. I don't take you seriously. I really don't. Because to me, if you're real about that, then it permeates your being and it goes so deep into your soul that nobody can really be around you unless they're about it also. And if somebody is around you and they're not about it, then to me what that says about you is, you're not convinced, so they're not really convinced. Big deal, me? And so quite frankly, brothers and sisters, if you're thinking about your future of your children, then you want to put stuff out there that will go into their mind and their soul and help a switch go off at a certain point in their life, even after they go through their rebellious stage, and, you know, they will come back around to black consciousness. And so when you look at, maybe you don't like Black Lives Matter. Maybe you think that All Lives Matter. Maybe you think that, you know, maybe you're so hardcore and militant that you can't get past the LGBTQ situation element of it, which, again, is only a segment of it. It's not everybody. But, you know, it is what it is. Maybe you can't get. So now you have your Luke Cage segment. Remember, entertainment is soft infrastructure. Now, I would advise you, maybe one day I'll play some segments from it, but one of my all-time favorite, which really convinced me that I was on the right path of my thinking, is when I first ran into Holup and Holup's videos, and Colin said, check this video out. And it was Holup talking about hard infrastructure and soft infrastructure. Man, that was my come to black Jesus moment. I was like, that's what I'm talking about, baby boy. That's what I'm talking about. And so, therefore, soft infrastructure is not highways. Soft infrastructure is not electrical grid. It's not sewage. It's not information highways. It's not none of that. Soft infrastructure is entertainment. Soft infrastructure is politics. Soft infrastructure is banks and economy. That's soft infrastructure. And so when you don't have control over soft infrastructure, then you definitely run the risk of losing your children. And again, remember that you have your current needs a load and it needs a return path, resistance and a return path. You're putting out all of this effort. How is it going to return to your own family, boy? How is it going to return to your own family, B? How? And so therefore, you know, you got a lot of these people, and they look at this Luke Cage thing. He's a black man that's a superhero, right? The whole class is pretty much black or Puerto Rican. They got one white boy in there, but he's posing as a Puerto Rican. But it is what it is. And, you know, it's basically black people. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm kind of uncomfortable with the liberal use of the word nigger, even though I use the word, but I just... Hey, I'm in my 40s, brothers and sisters. I'm not used to seeing it that much on regular TV that I know white folks are going to watch too. But it is what it is. I love this show. I love the concept of it. And I wasn't really even a big Luke Cage fan when I was younger coming up. I just wasn't. And so therefore, what you see now, what's the counter? there's always got to be a counter, right? Because your children can't grow up and see black superheroes, right? And your children can't grow up looking at them and seeing themselves in them and seeing that they want to be like them, right? And they can't look at this guy who is black and bulletproof but intelligent and reads books, right? So what they do now is they point to the fact he can't be a revolutionary because he's got a white wife. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. I look at the message, and I look at the meme itself. And as far as I'm concerned, what I look at is quite frankly that I want my children to see somebody on TV. I want them to see somebody look at somebody that is beautiful, dark, strong, intelligent, and bulletproof. So now look at what's happening in this world. In one sense, you got a slogan that everybody has on the tip of their tongue that says Black Lives Matter. Then you have the most successful downloadable web series ever on Netflix being Luke Cage. The thing was so successful, it shut down Netflix. And everybody's coming out after it saying it's offensive because it's racist, or the black people, you know what I'm saying, there's no cast, they're using the N-word. And you brothers and sisters are so idiotic, you ain't got no better sense than to jump on a bandwagon and be like, yeah, that's right. And in addition to all that they're saying, he's got a white wife. Are y'all kidding me? Are y'all kidding me? That's the best you can do? See, to me, when you talk like that, right, here's what I say to you. If you are upset at Luke Cage for having a white woman, why don't you want to join and build your own nation? Why don't you want to do that? Because that's the best that they can do for you. Point blank, that's the best that they can do for you. That's the best they can do for you is give you a black superhero who in real life has a white wife. You're disgusted by that, right? You're appalled, and it offends your sensibilities. Good. How about we build our own nation off the shores of America? But that you don't want to do that, right? Because that's, you need to calm down, son. Like, you need to go back over there and eat some chicken, son. Like, that's what I'm saying. You don't pass the litmus test. And like my dad said, you don't pass the smell test. Because if you pass the smell test, then quite frankly, what I would know is that what you would want to do is you would want to control your own context. And if you controlled your own context, then you could handpick. Luke Cage would be one of hundreds of series and shows that you would show on your TV highlighting your people. And if you didn't like him, you could have a dude that was blacker than than 10 black million nights. And his wife would be that too. And you could control that. But because you can't control it, you're sitting there, and you're going to speak against that, say you won't support it, but at the same time, you won't do the thing that is necessary to make sure that what you want to see happens. So what are you basically doing? You brothers and sisters who say you're against protesting, you brothers and sisters that say that you're against voting, what you're basically doing is you are moaning and bitching to the same person that you're telling us not to protest to give you somebody all black. And quite frankly, like I said before, all black lives only matter when you have your own nation. We'll be back. Indeed. And that's pretty much what I'm talking about. I'm talking about brighter days. I am. But the fact of the matter is there ain't going to be no brighter days unless you control your own context, unless you control your own infrastructure, unless you have your own land, and unless you are able to truly claim nationhood, there won't be no brighter days. You can sit there and moan and bitch about this gentleman having a white wife or playing a black player all that you want to, black character, all that you want to, but if you don't try to control it, really, who's listening to you? Who's really listening to you? Check this out. This is a short segment, and I'm going to go to a break and then do one more segment, and then we're going to kirk out because I think that I've got my point across here. So in this Luke Cage, within this Luke Cage, what you call it? Series. I guess that's what we can call it, right? They refer very often to a prison, and they call it Seagate. And, you know, this is the prison that Luke Cage went to. This is the prison that the Spanish cat, who was actually a white person in real life, went to. And several others, and this is where he got his power from, and stuff like that. And Seagate. See, for Big Daoud, Seagate takes on a whole different meaning than it does for you. See, I'm from Coney Island in Brooklyn, New York, brothers and sisters. And Coney Island is a community with mostly black people, some Spanish black. In the beginning of Coney Island, like 16th Street, 7th Street, 17th Street, 18th, and 19th, right? And then you kind of get to the bulk of it being a black community. And then the ill thing about Coney Island is at the very edge of it, right, the very tip of it, there's a big gated community, right, that basically houses Jews. And the gate is literally 20 foot high, so you ain't hopping it, has barbed wire over it, and surrounds the whole freaking thing, a gate. And guess what the name of the community is? You guessed it, Seagate. So when I hear Seagate during this Luke Cage series, I don't know what that means for you. Maybe it means hard drives, because some of you are into, you know, IT and computer repair. And maybe it actually means some kind of CMOS for some of you. But for me, what Seagate means is Seagate reminds me of that separation between the blacks and the affluent Jews that lived in Coney Island. And what happened was this, brothers and sisters, because, you know, they were on that side, you were on this side, and their children came out of the gate in order to go to the public schools and get an education, and then were safely let into the gate at the end of the day. The gate had a guard post at the end, at the beginning of it, and, you know, basically your ID was checked. But here's the ill thing about it. What brought everything together, because, you know, Coney Island is an island, and the island is a peninsula. And if you don't know what a peninsula basically is a mass of land that is surrounded by water. Get me? You dig? And so, therefore, either you could go to the part near Surf Avenue, which was called the beach, or you could go to the part which was called the bay, which led into the Hudson River, and you can see Verrazano. Well, if you walk to the bay, right, which was rotten, nasty, you know, they dumped garbage on it, everything like that. Eventually, if you walked the bay towards Seagate, you would pass the gate. And when the tide was low, you was on Seagate's property because, you know, basically the gate didn't cut off the freaking water. And so me and my friends would do, just to be, you know, we were young children, and we didn't have video games back then. We didn't stay in the house. We was, you know, on the streets all day. And we would walk the sands. And eventually being Seagate, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. The minute that your black ass showed up on solid, dry ground in Seagate, there was always police there waiting to drain you out. I mean, fast. Who are you? Where are you going? You obviously don't live here. Get in the car. And so, you know, you brothers and sisters who sit there and you talk about, because they say that what started Black Lives Matter was the death of Trayvon Martin. And a lot of brothers and sisters who are down with the All Lives Matter movement, they kind of think that Trayvon Martin was this thug, and because he was this thug, he deserved to die, which is crazy as hell. We've been through this back and forth for years. But the fact of the matter is, long before Trayvon was a dirty thought in his father's nuts, we were surfacing in Seagate, and we were being taken out by, you know, hired white cops. And we could have been Trayvon. We could have got shot. We could have got killed. We could have got, quote unquote, thrown around for no compliance. And most of the times when they saw us, they wasn't very happy, brothers and sisters. So what I'm saying to you is this. You look at that now as an adult, and you have to say to yourself, wow, I can't really fault them for doing that because they were a Jewish community. They didn't want you in. They wanted to stay to their own, and they were willing to protect it by, number one, putting a border up, number two, having the guard post manned, and number three, listen, brothers and sisters, there was no surveillance back then, and there was no, you know, access control like it is today. So how did they know the minute we hit dry ground? It's because everybody in the community was invested in the community's security. So as they started seeing us on the bay, they called police, and everybody alerted them to exactly where we was at. So the minute that we hit dry ground, the police knew exactly what. Because why? Because the whole freaking community was invested. Now let's take that and let's get a macro view from it. Okay? Seagate is kind of like a little Israel. Correct? And like Tulip always says, you can't have no little Israel unless you have what? Unless you have an Israel. And so therefore, they were able to build what we are talking about today. When you talk about living off the grid and homesteading and all this other stuff, brothers and sisters, Seagate was a pioneer of that years ago because it was a Jewish community. I mean, listen, all my friends in school, all my white friends in school, so-called white friends that I had in school, they all did not show up for none of the Jewish holidays. When it was International Day, they all brought that nasty Jewish food to school. You understand? They all had, you know, would disappear 2 times a week for what's called religious instruction. And every last person I knew from Seagate was Jewish. Every last person I knew. Now, here it is in 2016. I heard that there's, you know, black people living there and other people living there. But basically, that was a time where they needed to be separated from us, and they done came up. They don't need it anymore. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? I'm not trying to tell you that we need to necessarily have our community gated, per se, but what I do know is that this is what you are talking about. I grew up seeing this. You're talking about having a black community in America. You're talking about, quote, unquote, do it right here. Do you think that you could buy up that much land and you can fence it with 20-foot fence? At, man, brothers, I'm not good at distances. But let me tell you something. The distance of that freaking gate in Seagate is massive. It is massive. It was enough to, listen, Coney Island has 3 basic streets running through it. Mermaid Avenue, Surf Avenue, excuse me, Neptune Avenue, Mermaid Avenue, Surf Avenue. That gate covered Mermaid, Neptune, Surf, and every other side street. Basically, you wasn't getting in. Okay? Basically, you was not getting in from any of those 3 main arteries and any side artery neither. And so what I'm saying to you is this. If you want to do it right here, and you're thinking that the Seagate model is irrational and is nonsensical, then quite frankly, I don't really know what to tell you because I know what I saw. And now that I'm 45 years old, I have my marching orders because if you want all black lives to matter, you need to have your own nation. We'll be back.
How you doing? Do you feel like talking? Or do you need me to call you back? You from round what way? When's your birthday? What's your zodiac sign? Well, I'm a Virgo, so my sign's compatible. We gon' get along just fine, yeah. What you do for fun? Cause I don't drink or club, but I just like to chill with somebody like you.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah,
when love is all. Cause you're learning me, I'm learning you.
Yeah,
when love is all.
Yeah, yeah. sometimes, yeah. By the way, I'm wondering, are you cool with your...
Okay, brothers and sisters, this is my last segment. We're going to Kirk out. I'm going to try to make it to 9 o'clock. It's two segments combined, so I may go a little bit over time. But I think I'm very pleased at what is being said here. It's a good comeback for me. I'll be back on Thursday. Don't know necessarily what I'll be talking about, but I promise you I'll be back. Oh, no, Thursday is my daughter's birthday. Maybe Friday. That's my little mama. And that's my little mama. My little mommy Kansas turned 14, and it is what it is. She's God. She's a handful, but she's a beautiful little girl. Anyway, so check this out, brothers and sisters. Let's deal with this All Lives Matter one final time. Let's throw the coffin, the nail in the coffin, okay? So you must be aware by now, right? You must be aware of the situation where that sister doctor was on Delta Airlines and somebody was losing their life. It was unresponsive, and that sister notified them that she was a doctor, and they basically told her, yo, you can be a doctor. Then they asked her, if you're a doctor, what were you doing in Detroit? Then after they asked her, if you're a doctor, what were you doing in Detroit, they said, let me see your credentials. So essentially, they wouldn't let that sister treat the person that was unresponsive, almost dying. Then this white person showed up, said he was a doctor. They didn't ask him for his credentials. They didn't ask him for any proof. They just let him do what he does. How you feel about that? All lives matter, right? How you feel about that? How does that like bubble on your noggin be? Mr. Do It Right Here. How do you feel about that? This is a doctor now. You know, do you know how many years you got to go to school to be a doctor in America? Do you know how much money you have to invest to be a doctor in America? Do you have any idea? For you to be on a flight and tell them that you are a doctor, they take one look at you, see that you're black, and say, sit your ass down because you can't possibly be that? And what about people like me who are in the electronics field, who deal with security, which is highly technical, who knows more than almost everybody I work with, but is still looked at as a black person? Could he possibly know what he's doing? My thing to you, brothers and sisters, is that you don't get it. You really don't get it. You think that this is some liberal agenda. You think that this is some democratic thing. And because you've been listening to the conservative talk radio, Rush Limbaugh, Michael Savage, and Sean Hannity together three shows a day, you have bought the Kool-Aid, and you think that any kind of sensitivity that we feel for being slighted in America is, quote-unquote, the liberal agenda. And you are stupid for thinking that. Because, quite frankly, every day a new incident comes up to let you know that unless you have your own political leverage, your own economic leverage, your own mental and spiritual leverage, you will continue to go through the same damn thing year after year. And I guarantee you, if an Indian person came over there and said that they was a doctor, they would have accepted them right away and said, you're free to treat this patient. And the worst part about it is that the sister said that after they didn't accept her credentials, they still was asking her what to do because they knew they didn't know what to do. They didn't know what vitals to look for. They didn't know what, you know what I'm saying, exactly how to treat the person. They didn't know none of that. So they wouldn't let you do it because you was black, but at the same time, they needed your help. How many of you go through this? How many of you go through a situation where because you are who you are, they won't let you do it, but they still ask for your advice? How many of you go through this with black people? Well, your specialty may be security like me, and people say, well, I'd like you to come around and survey my property. And then we're going to ask ADT to put the security in. How many of you go through stuff like that? How many of you are in the engineering field and they want to let you look over certain plans and things like that? They're not going to put you as lead, but they damn sure need your advice. It is always going to happen. And the reason why it's always going to happen is because your people have been portrayed as being inferior. It's deep in the American psyche. I don't give a damn how many white women that you marry. I don't give a damn how many white men that you marry. It is in America's psyche that you are inferior. And until you build your own nation and show that your people can build something superior, highly superior, and with a system that's superior, you will go through this again and again and again and again. And you are a coward because you are dooming your children to go through the same thing and you have done nothing about it. So at the end of the day, brothers and sisters, this is my thought, this is my idea, and this is my motif. All Lives Matter is nothing more than a counter to a mean virus that would make your children eventually great. Not everybody's children, but enough children to carry on the fourth generation of this, because there will be a fourth and a fifth generation of this here in America. And they are already countering it because they saw that injecting the LGBTQ did not stop it. They saw that injecting George Soros money did not stop it. But what they do know is if they change the wording around and make it feel like it's more comfortable and politically correct to say all lives, that your children would jump on top of that and it would kill the revolutionary work that is done in their spirit. Listen, brothers, I thank you all for your time and attention. I hope and pray you got something out of what we had to say today regarding the word of God, regarding land, infrastructure, and nationhood. Tune in probably Friday, and I'll be back. As I came before you, I dismiss myself. Salaam alaikum, Hotep, peace, black.
Hey girl, how you doing? Do you feel like talking? Or do you need me to call you back? You from round with waves. When's your birthday? What's your zodiac sign? Well, I'm a Virgo, so my sign's compatible. We gon' get along just fine. Yeah. What you do for fun? I don't drink or club, but I just like to chill with somebody like you.
Everything is cool, yeah. With love.